Get ready, it's time for the podcast.
Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm artist Katrina Berg, and this is episode 164. This is a very, very exciting and special episode because I have my dear friend, Laura Erickson, here, and we are excited to share all kinds of things. So, Laura, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back. Excited to be here.
She's such a sport, you guys. I have to tell you, confessions. I did not tell her we were going to be recording live. Just so you know, if you haven't heard Laura's other episode, she's episode 41. You need to go listen to it. It's fantastic. You will love it. If you heard it before, go back and re-listen. Just more Laura goodness for you. Okay, so yeah, this is just audio, just so you know. You're not missing out if you're trying to watch us. We are just audio. We're gonna have way too much fun. Okay, so the main reason why I have Laura here is because we have the Certain Women show up, third, what are we calling it, third edition, what do you call it,
the third show.
It's very official. It's called the third show.
Biannual. No,
is it biannual?
Yeah, semi. Sorry, it's really late at night.
Yeah, sorry. We've been chatting about all the things.
The third every other year show.
That's right. It's the third. It's the third every other year show. Oh my goodness. Okay, so it is open until November 13th, which is the Saturday. And just to give you a little idea of things to come, they've been doing some events and you can go online and watch the recordings. Do you want to tell them some of the events just to spout off what they had? We had the opening.
And then we had the Girls Guide to Heavenly Mother. MacArthur Krishna spoke to us on Heavenly Mother. And then we had an event last week with Dr. Heather Belknap and Dr. Sarah Coyne regarding the divine imagery of the divine feminine, which was fascinating. And then we have another event coming up on Friday. With Valerie Hudson, yes, regarding Eve and her mother, the mother god.
And we are so excited. And just so you know, I will attach the Two Trees talk by Valerie. I will also attach the Certain Women website so you can go, because you can see all the images on their website. If you are not local, you can go see it there. Now, if you are local, you want to go to Anthony's Fine Art and Antiques in Salt Lake, and you'll get to see the show.
Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, say it one more time.
It's Anthony's is open. We get this question a lot. Hours of the show. So it's regular hours of Anthony's. It's Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Perfect and easy. So get yourself down there if you're local. If you're not, get on the website or on Instagram, because they've been posting every day on Instagram. All the recordings of the special events have been on there. And I will put Valerie's Two Trees talk, which will be a really great, I don't know, intro if you haven't heard it before you listen to her on Friday. It's going to be awesome. So you probably, if you're not aware of the show, you know that the theme this year is
Reflections on a Mother in Heaven.
And it's amazing. And it's, the whole show is absolutely exquisite. The space of the show is a great, beautiful space, but the amount of pieces, number wise, don't you think there's three times as many pieces as the last one? Or is it two and a half?
It's about double.
Double. Mm-hmm. Double from the last show. And so you go in there and you are enveloped in the love of our Heavenly Mother. It's like, it's powerful and it's palatable. And you literally feel like it's just, I was there by myself and it was thick. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Okay, so many things to talk about, but maybe could we start with, would you tell us just experiences of the theme and how you ladies came about the theme for this show? Because every year you do a different theme.
Yes, we do.
I'm just going to give you the mic because it's probably going to be a minute.
It's going to take a little bit. Yes, so we started doing a theme to have more continuity in the show, kind of bring it together And this year, we always try to do something that's current and timely. We kind of look at what's going on in our culture, what's going on with our faith and the church, what's going on. And so we had a few different ideas bouncing around. We thought, well, you know, COVID, we could do something about that. We could do something about, you know, there were changes to the young women theme, right? Heavenly parents as opposed to Heavenly Father was added into the young women. So we thought, you know, we could focus on that, which led us down the road to Heavenly Mother. Some of us were a little more conservative than others. I am not on that conservative side. And because it is a sensitive topic for many reasons that I don't fully understand or agree with. But it is. Fact of the matter, culturally, we have turned it into this very sensitive topic that we have to be careful about. And we don't want to scare people away.
Yeah.
And so we talked about, okay, well, we could have, you know, one of the curators said, well, we could have, you know, we are children of our heavenly parents. And I said, we could say we are children of our heavenly mother. But that was apparently a little too much. Then I said, we could say, hear her voice.
Yeah.
I was shot down again. I'm kind of like, go big or go home.
Yeah.
But it's good. We're good balance. The three of us are a good balance because,
yeah,
you know, that doesn't work for a lot of people. The way I do things doesn't work for the masses. And I can scare a lot of people away on my own, right? So we have checks and balances. So we did land on another theme. We were thinking about it had to do with COVID, like the something with uncertainty or I don't remember. But we sat on it and it just wasn't feeling right,
yeah,
for any of us. And so we sat on a couple different options and then came back to Heavenly Mother and landed on reflections,
wow,
on our mother in heaven.
Yeah.
And we all felt good about that. Yeah. All felt like it was the right time.
Yeah.
We wanted to, there's kind of been this movement, this pull. We feel like all different areas and sources have been opening up the conversation.
Yeah.
And we wanted to create an atmosphere and have a venue where people could come in and through art,
yeah,
experience her and think about her and maybe start having a relationship with her on their own, having their own personal experiences through visual,
mm-hmm,
art,
mm-hmm,
and audio. We have an audio piece as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, here, let me borrow this. So I have to say that what's been really special about all the events that you've done, they've always had a question and answer period. And at the end, the questions that people have been asking have been really great questions. And so I think that that's exactly what's been happening. You've had a lot of people come because, like you and I, we're not afraid to talk about her. We want to talk about her. Our kids, well, maybe your kids aren't like this, but my kids, if they come home from grandma's on Sunday night and I'm not here, they're like, where's mom? And the middle child says, well, she's probably out with her friends talking about Heavenly Mother. That's what he said.
That's really funny.
And what was ironic was I had gone to listen to Fiona Gibbons. And because I knew that she was talking about Heavenly Mother, I grabbed my latest Asherah and I ran over there with the painting so that I could take a picture with her afterwards with it and just thank her for all of her work with Heavenly Mother. But anyway, so some of us, you know, were a little bit comfortable with it, but I could tell from the questions, first of all, really good questions, and they were great too, because a lot of times when you're so comfortable talking about things, you forget about some of the reasons why people are uncomfortable,
mm-hmm,
and it was so good for me to listen to all of their questions, because I was like, oh, I totally get that. So then if I come across someone who feels uncomfortable, then I can say, are these some of the reasons why? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was very educational for me. So I thought it was great. So I think, yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think you're right. It's a great topic. I think it's something that is very timely.
Mm-hmm.
And you ladies have done a beautiful, beautiful job. Just the way everything was set up and just, yeah, it was just amazing.
Thank you.
It's really good.
Can I say
yes,
one more?
Yes, please
thing
say
about
more.
This thing?
Yes.
There seems to be, like, there, you can. We could feel like a difference with this show. With it has brought in so many more people, men and women. And I could, on opening night, I saw so many just moved to tears. Again, both men and women.
Wow.
And there just seems to be a greater power that is reaching people with a greater depth and breadth than shows in the past. And so we want to push through the silence and move into the celebration of her.
Yes.
And we're just so happy that it is being so well received and viewed as this safe and sacred space to ponder on our mother in heaven.
Oh, that's so great. And shout out to Anthony's for always for providing the space needed for all these things to happen. That I think that it is a beautiful space to show certain women, and specifically this show. It's been really great. So thank you to Micah and all the team over at Anthony's Fine Art, if you ever hear this. Okay, so that gives you a little idea of kind of the background. But if it's okay, I would love to jump into just like latest with you. Like give us an update on your work, because 2 years ago when we did this interview, I mean, you've done new things, you've started new series, you're using new materials and processes. Like, would love an update about you and your work and what you're excited about right now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I have been using new materials. So I use found objects in my work, and I'm all about the texture and forming compositions around these objects. And I have used flowers like once in one of my first Heavenly Mother painting called Holding Her Halo. I have sunflowers in there. And that was a couple years ago. And then in 2020, I started thinking about, you know, I actually really love flowers and I love plants. And for the first time in my life, I have a garden. And I used to be a florist, and it's like, I've been picking and arranging flowers since I can remember. Why have I not explored the flowers, you know, the flower thing more? So I started doing full on just florals. And I actually started with found objects. I was using doilies to be the flower. So I started, you know, thinking, you know, I wanted to go the found object route, but composing it as a flower.
Yeah.
And it wasn't looking right. It wasn't working. I kind of put it on pause. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to use the real deal like I did in the past. So I got a bunch of flowers. I went to, I don't know, Trader Joe's and bought up a bunch of flowers and got my panels ready. And I just started doing floral arrangements on the panel, on the canvas. And once I start, like I can't stop. And once I set something, that's it. So it's much harder than doing an actual floral arrangement, because you can rearrange and you can tweak and you can move things and you can pull things out and put something in. No, this, it's in. So it's its own animal, but I loved the result. I trashed the other painting that I had started doing, because it just doesn't get better than the real deal. I can't reproduce a flat, like I fell in love with the textures that I can get out of the petals, the leaves, everything. I can get all the little veins in there. The detail is amazing. So I started working with flowers. Also, I thought people could do with a little bit of cheer.
Yes.
During that time. And flowers make people happy. So there are all these levels. Like, I wanted something happy, something that was uplifting, something that would brighten up somebody's day. And then on the flip side, I was thinking a lot about life and death and the fleetingness of it all and the fragility of it all. And to me, flowers reflect all of that. They're full of life and they're so vibrant and they're so beautiful and they're so fleeting and they die, you know, and some of them last longer than others. And some of them are cut down in their prime. I mean, so for me, and some of them, you know, so go to seed, live long enough to go to seed. So for me, there are all these layers of why, like the bringing cheer. I love flowers. I have a history with flowers. Also wanting to uplift others. Also me pondering life and death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. So that's a new body of work. And I've also introduced found objects. I oftentimes will nestle found objects into my floral arrangements. So I've combined
the
two. Some are strictly plants. But I grew 40 mammoth sunflowers this summer.
So cool.
And I have not revealed on Instagram everything that I have started, but I have done 7 4-foot by 8-foot panels of gigantic sunflowers, like the stalks and everything. They're all currently drying, but I've got that on my list of things to complete.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay, so tell them. We have to tell them about the kids and the pollen. Because, okay, you guys, if you listen to the other episode, or if you know Laura, if you've gone on her Instagram, you know that her kids are very involved with her work, and they're really, they love to help remove things. They love to help her with all the processes. But this was especially cute. Okay.
So, my then 5-year-old, she's now 6, was really allergic, and she was sneezing and all congested, and then everyone was, and I had been working on these sunflowers, and the thing is, I don't have a deadline for them because it's a passion project of mine. People say I'm crazy. They say, what, you're making 7 gigantic paintings and it's not a commission? I say, that's right. And I'm making them because I want to.
That's right. That's
yes. I am. Yes. Call me crazy. But so I had all these sunflowers and all these plants. I'd also brought in, I'm also doing another body of work called Pray for Rain. And I was going to local farms and getting their crops to use because we've been going through this drought. And so I had dill in the house, flowering dill. I had flowering carrots and I had all of these sunflowers and everyone was sneezing and miserable. And I was like, it's probably the flowering dill or the flowering carrots. And then one day I was there with the sunflower and there was all this pollen just draped and just drenched in yellow pollen. And I was literally sneezing and my nose was running all over my work. And my eyes were itching and my hands were yellow.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah, I'm doing this to myself. I'm doing this to my whole family. And my house still smells like rotting plants because it is full of rotting and drying plants. So yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And we say that we don't have enough of that in our art, right? Okay, that's inside. Okay, so many good things. Well, it's so great to hear, just to hear a little bit more about what you've been up to. It's been fun to watch. And I think we all need a little bit of that. But yeah, if you get a piece and it has Laura's, you know, runny nose in it, you're very, I mean, that's like an extra bonus. Oh, so much multimedia stuff going on here. Okay. Okay. So let's talk about your specific piece in the show. So I've already shared this with Laura. Well, I haven't shared all of this. So the other night's recording of the special event, I went ahead and stuck it in my stories, and a good friend, an Instagram friend that I've never met in real life, she's absolutely beautiful. Her name is Vika Shini. Sometimes she lives in India, sometimes she's in Germany, but she was like, whose piece is that in the background? I was like, well, that's Laura's. Let me show you, let me send you her Instagram, a post from Instagram. So I sent her all this stuff and she was just like, we had a whole conversation about your piece, but it was so interesting because I told her, I was like, I am a big fan of Laura and her work, but this piece, for some reason, like I came around the corner and it just took my breath away. And it's just, I love that for me personally, it's a compilation of so much of your artist journey. Mm-hmm. Like I look at it and I see pieces of all different times of your work that I have loved, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love color. And so that's just really fun too, that you've started to integrate, like you've gotten a lot more brave with the color, but I do love the simple ones where there's no color too. You know, it's like kind of like the piece you were just showing me, which hopefully we'll get to talk about another time. But anyways, yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So just so you know, I'm such a big fan and I love everything Laura does, but this particular piece might be my favorite piece you've ever done. And that's hard to say because I love so much of your work.
Wow.
I could take half of it home. Okay. All right, here, go ahead and tell them about your piece.
Okay. Well, where to begin? Actually, when you were talking, I want to read my statement about it before we part ways. It's on my phone.
Is it on your Instagram too?
No.
Okay,
it's
hold
just on.
On
my phone. But this was, I have done large pieces. So this is a 4 foot by 8 foot. So 4 feet wide by 8 feet tall. I like going big.
Yeah, and for some reason, the shape is just really great too. The shape too. Okay, keep going. So sorry, that particular shape, I don't know if I've seen you do a 4x8.
I've done one other 4x8.
Okay, and was it vertical or horizontal?
I've done one other vertical.
Cool.
4x8.
Yeah.
But it was not nearly as complex.
Okay.
So I'd say this is definitely the most complicated, time-consuming, monumental work as far as painting goes that I've done.
Yeah.
And so I had a vision in my head, and I had thought about it, so I'd been thinking about it for a really long time, and I wanted to do big, and I was talking to my fellow curators, and I was like, is that going to be narcissistic, you know, because I'm a curator, and I want to take all this prime real estate.
We had a lot of big pieces.
We did, but you know, it's not because I'm full of myself. It's because that's how I work. And that's the vision that I had. Yes. And I just couldn't do it smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have gone bigger, but you know, that was plenty big. And I figured 4 feet wide, you know, that's not bad. I'll just take up the whole length of the room.
Yeah, it's great.
But I used most of my garden as the plants. And it took me 9 hours to set. And once I start, I can't stop.
Yeah.
So my friend took my children. I have 3 children under the age of 6. Youngest one is 2. And she took them all day long. And I said, are you sure? Because I don't know when I'm coming back. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, that's fine. So shout out to angels and women helping women.
Seriously.
So she watched my kids so that I could do that. Because they couldn't have been around for that. That would have been a mess. It was on the ground. And I was literally running. I wanted it to be full. I wanted it to be abundant. I wanted it to just be running off of every corner. And you could just imagine that it just continues on forever, full of life and flowers and vegetation. And so I kept on going for 9 hours until it was done. I took one bathroom break and I drank one shake
as a meal.
And I kept on squatting down to, you know, put it down, and then I kept on running out to my garden to get more plants because I was like, I ran out of things. There's still space to fill and it's drying. And so thankfully I did it during, you know, a plentiful, like, blooming vegetation garden. So I went out, I ripped out, like, gourds and butternut squash leaves and ran back in and started filling it in. So it was a little crazy, a little intense, but then I let it dry for a while, and I ran into a few hiccups along the way. This piece probably caused me more grief than any other painting I have ever done. Mm. I don't know if it's because I just really wanted it to be just right, you know, like, it's Heavenly Mother. Like, how can I do her justice, you know? Like, I just wanted it to be spectacularly amazing. And so I did have a few moments where I had to sit and really think about, like, color. I can go so many ways. Mm-hmm. I do all of this texture, then how do I color it? Mm-hmm. It could go any which way. And so I really thought about it, probably too much, but I probably made it harder than it had to be. But in the end, I'm really, really happy with how it turned out visually. Mm-hmm. And in every way, it's really what I wanted to convey, and am happy with the result, but I was pushing it. I almost didn't have it done for the show because of all the obstacles that I ran into. And so, as I was telling you earlier, before we started the podcast, I almost didn't, I didn't really get to see it finished until it was hanging in the show, because it's so big that you can't stand back and really see it unless it's up and you stand back. And I literally brought it to the photographer the night before and then brought it to the show that morning and hung it up on the wall. It wasn't until the opening that I stood back and was like, okay, that's what it looks like. I think I'm happy with that.
Oh my gosh. It's so amazing.
But in it, the arms, they're arms at the top coming down. And I wanted them to blend in with the flowers and the leaves and the objects. There are hidden objects nestled in there, by the way, quite a few. So look for them.
Okay.
that symbolize different things. But her arms are hidden, and I wanted them to be hidden. But then when you see them, it's like you can't not see them.
Yeah.
So speaking to Heavenly Mother being hidden. And she's not obviously present because she is not included in everything. And then once I had an awakening when I stepped into my role as a mother. And when I had that moment, I couldn't stop seeing her. And now I see her in everything. Mm-hmm. So in my piece, it's all the creations, all of the joy, all of the light, all of the love, all things good and beautiful and light. I see her in everything. So I'm going to read my statement that goes along with it. So, and it's called Hidden in Plain Sight, the scriptures are laid before thee. So that comes from Alma, where, you know, the scriptures are laid before thee, and all things to note, there is a God, even, you know, I don't have the whole thing memorized, but everything on the earth and the planets and everything. So that's what that comes from. Hidden in plain sight, the scriptures are laid before thee. I was told you existed, but you were nowhere to be found. You were mentioned on occasion with the utmost respect. I thought little of it as I danced and I sang and I created, stumbling more and more as the years passed by. And I knew you were there, but I couldn't see you. I then grew life inside me and brought her into this world. Breath flooded her with color, and I found a fragment of you. I thought more and more of it as we danced and we sang and we created, stumbling all the while as the months passed by. And I knew you were there and saw more and more of you. I now have three little ones who cling to my legs and run to my arms. They are a part of me as I am a part of you. I think of it both day and night as we dance and we sing and we create, stumbling while planting seeds and collecting flowers as days pass by. And I know you are here and have found you. So that's my piece, my moment of awakening through being a mother myself. And that wasn't until I was 32. It took me 32 years to really have that realization that, wow, I do have a mother in heaven. I've always known that, but now I'm really realizing that, and the power and the strength and the understanding of who I am, specifically as a woman and who I can become, was life-changing. And now I see her in everything, and I can't stop seeing her.
Totally. Oh, I'm just so nice to hear you say it with your voice and your cadence. You know, it's really special. And I could see you with your kids. And I know those moments, but it's really special that you have that garden and that you can grow and that every part of your practice includes your children. These will be treasured things that they will never forget. And, oh man, whoever gets this piece is a lucky person. I have to say just a couple more things about your piece while you were talking. So the gorgeous piece that you had in the Rouge show, it was overpowering and powerful. It was intense in color, and it needed to be, and it was perfect. And yet this piece has pops of overwhelming color, but it's more peaceful overall, and it shows her power, but also her perfect just serenity and wisdom and just, yeah. I can tell you overanalyzed the color as you're talking about, but I want you to know it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And I know she's so grateful because I think that, first of all, thank you for putting together this show, all of you. We need to have so many voices and experiences and visions of our Heavenly Mother for each of us to truly have that connection that we've always wanted with her. And a lot of times it takes many experiences from many viewpoints to really have that more complete knowledge of her. Mm-hmm. And this show is making that possible. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for your piece. It's just so beautiful. So let's continue. We have a few pieces that Laura's going to talk about. Some three other pieces specifically in the show. And I think you're going to love hearing about these. So go ahead.
Yes. So Stephanie Kelly Clark has a gorgeous, so these three pieces are just completely different depictions. Okay. So this one is a landscape. Stephanie Kelly Clark, she embroidered this landscape, gorgeous rolling hills with flowers, just carpet of flowers all over. And then she put a veil.
Yeah, like a veil.
A veil over the frame. So there's a frame that protrudes like 3 inches away from the embroidered landscape, and then just stretched this you know, tulle.
Yeah, mesh, maybe it is more veil tulle
over the frame, and embroidered a bird, a yellow bird, on top of it. And so it's pushed back from the landscape by like 3 inches, and you can see the shadow of it as you move around. And she had it coupled with a poem that someone else had written that she felt just perfectly expressed that piece. And it's just completely gorgeous. Just the texture and the color and the way she put it all together, I think, was absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I love that.
Keep your eye out for Stephanie Kelly Clark's piece.
Can I talk about that for just a sec?
Yes.
So, did you get to hear Melinda Brown talk about Stephanie's piece? Okay, so Melinda Brown wrote the Eve and Adam book. Eve and Adam, Understanding the Balance, or The Beautiful Balance, something. I'm sorry. you know me, I'm not always perfect with words. But she went to the opening, and then she came home, and she talked about Stephanie Kelly Clark's piece. And it was a beautiful, I loved what she got out of it as well. It might be fun to share. I think it's like an Instagram video, like an IGTV maybe. And you can probably put in the stories. I will link to it in the show notes of this so that you can hear Melinda's thoughts on it as well. But it's a gorgeous, amazing piece. And, you know, last show, Stephanie Kelly Clark did one also embroidery, and there was some lace. And I think it was one of the first times, it wasn't lace, but this kind of mesh, this fabric, this tulle, whatever it is. She did, it was probably one of the first times she did that, and she had like, it was mirrored. Do you remember what it was?
Wasn't it a mirrored abstract floral?
Yes, a mirrored abstract floral. And so for me personally, it was so great because she does all kinds of things, but I felt like it was the perfect transition from her last piece, if that makes any sense. And the last show theme was statements of purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I loved how her two pieces just really flowed together. The ideas, the structure, the application, all those things, all. And then, of course, I love the, you know, she depicted now it's a landscape and a bird, whereas before it was the flowers, you know, more similar to what Laura's been doing, yeah. Which is really cool. But anyways, really neat stuff. Okay, second piece. Go ahead.
Chelsea Walker, this life-size sculpture, steel and bronze cast, just gorgeous, filled with plants. So she has three children, and they're all a little older now, but when they were little, she cast their little hands and their little arms so she could use them, which was brilliant.
Yes.
I want to do with my kids. And so she used those. So it's this, it's heavenly, it's this figure, this woman, Heavenly Mother, and she's got a crown and little children's hands are on it. And she's, I'm trying, how to describe it? She's
reaching.
She's sending their little spirits away.
Yeah.
So with the metal, you see like these wave, like little spirit, and it's, I'm not describing it. It's completely gorgeous.
So it's like
gorgeous.
The send off.
She's sending off her children.
Yeah.
And her foot is stepping out, and she cast her own foot for that. So I'm pretty sure she used her own body and dimensions, you know, to make this piece and her own children's little hands. In it as well, and then she filled it full of plants.
Wow.
Just kind of vining and draping around, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's in the middle of one of the rooms. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Just a couple of things to add to that piece. So I got to go, and I was alone, and so there was a lot of space, and you're right, it pretty much fills up that whole corner of that room. What I loved, one of the things I really loved about that piece was, like you say, the casting, it's very solid, very firm, but then the other pieces, there was so much openness, and there was just this, the juxtaposition of the two, and just the feeling of her being there, and this, you know, the solidity of her being there, but then she's not, right? And so she's definitely a part of us, but it's up to us. We don't always feel her, right? So there's times when we have both. But anyways, it's an amazing piece. And I'm so glad that you told me that she included the kids in that. I didn't realize that. And it makes sense that her body parts are included.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Such a beautiful piece. Love that piece.
And then the third I wanted to mention was Maggie Golightly Haslam. It's a triptych. and she does watercolor and water work. And so there are three separately framed watercolors that are abstract, gorgeous shapes, you know, and natural colors. She likes using natural things to create art as well. And underneath each form, there's a gold leaf stamped text, "Oh God, where is she?" question mark. "Oh God, where is she?" question mark. "Oh God, where is she?" question mark.
Yes.
Let me just say that. "Oh God, where is she?"
Yeah.
"Oh God, where is she? Oh God, where is she?" So powerful.
So powerful.
When I was standing there, and it's a small piece, like it's not a monumental in size, but it doesn't have to be. Just the repetition and the phrase that she chose and the way that she presented it just was perfect. I stood there and had a moment with that because it's like, yes, like she's saying it all, you know, just in that one repeated, very well repeated phrase, you know, like, where is she? Why isn't she included in everything, you know? So, I don't have anything else to say about it. I mean, it's just so powerful.
Here, I'll say
simple and powerful.
Yes, absolutely. Couple things. First of all, I love that you mentioned that it doesn't have to be big to be powerful. And how often do we feel so small? How often do we feel like our questions are not important, right? I have this question. It feels important to me, but it feels like such an insignificant thing compared to others or compared to the universe. And yet, look at how much that, you know, that affected you the first time you saw it. The other thing that I think about the temple specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And,
yep.
Again,
that was very intentional.
That was very intentional.
Seems
and
to be.
Yeah. And it was great hearing you say it the way you did. Don't you guys love? I just love Laura. Love you so much. Anyways, it was so good. But yeah, that is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece and so powerful. Thank you for picking that one. That's great. Again, you guys, this is just four of the pieces. How many total do we have on the show?
140.
Okay. So that means there's 136 more to look at. But yeah, it's going to be good. So we are going to have Mary and Nicole come and they'll share about some more pieces too. And then we're also going to have Tracy Holmes is going to come on next week. So very exciting things. And okay, one more thing about the show. Just don't forget, Friday is Valerie's event. She'll be talking about Eve and Heavenly Mother. And then there will be an award show, but please go anytime between 10 and 5.
10, yep.
10 and 5, Monday to Saturday. And yeah, or get on the website or on the Instagram, either one. Good things. Okay. Now we are going to, we're going to wrap it up with just some good Laura goodness here. Laura, we've had a crazy past 18 months. So I'm just kind of curious, did you make any changes with your art practice because of COVID? And also, do you see your work or the art community and world differently because of COVID? Artist in COVID. Artist in the time of COVID.
Yeah, I saw a post from an artist friend of mine on Facebook of a picture. I forgot what meme it was. Someone like screaming and fire burning everywhere. And it said, "The world is burning down. Buy more art."
That's so great.
Buy art, everybody. Yeah. 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 2020 was rough for the art business, right? So a lot of things, like some things I would have been in were canceled. Sales were down. So it was rough just from a business standpoint. But then in my own art practice, it most definitely influenced what I did. I mentioned earlier, I started flowers as kind of a pick-me-up to bring some cheer, also ruminating about the fragility of life. With that, also I did a crib series. So for those of you who follow me on Instagram,
it's great. I'll add a crib in our show notes.
Okay. I had an extra crib and I was actually there was a show that I was applying for, and that had to do with art in uncertain times regarding COVID. And I thought, what can I do? I thought, the crib. I'm going to jam my entire family, husband included. He's 6'4", 185 pounds. So I'm going to jam my family into that crib. And I'm going to document this, and we're going to get in that crib and have a photo shoot once a month for the year. And so I didn't end up getting what I was applying for, but I thought, you know what? I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to do this anyway. I have a good idea. I'm going to run with it, which is what you got to do. You just got to do your good ideas, regardless of what other people think. Exactly. And so I did, and it was so much fun. So it kind of tells our story. So each month it kind of says something different. I have my 2-year-old, then so 1-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 1-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, you know, they've grown up a little bit, and my husband and myself in the crib. And that I know has brought a lot of joy, actually, and comfort to, I mean, because with my normal art practice is painting right now, right? Like, that's what I do. But I started this photography series, you know, with my iPhone during COVID. And I've had so many people talk to me about my crib series and say, you know what, I've really loved looking at that through COVID. It's really, you know, told, you know, expressed emotions that I've felt, like, be it like some are a little more like comforting, some are just funny, some are. So that has been a whole series that I've really, my husband got a little tired of being jammed in the crib, but there was a time when he left the crib because his work made him go back to work in January 2021. So it was symbolic, obviously, of us all kind of being in it together. Him working from home, and then he left the crib when he started going back home, which was actually a really sad day for me because I had so much more freedom with my husband being home with 3 small children.
Yes.
My freedom really expanded because I could run an errand in the middle of the day and I had to take 3 small children with me. It was a game changer. I think you should work from home all the time. So there was the crib series, which was a whole thing that just never would have come to be if it weren't for COVID. And I've gotten into another show with it. So it's also gone somewhere. And someday I would like to do a solo show just to show all of them.
Yeah, you should.
I would like to showcase all of them with the crib in the center of a room.
Ooh, yes.
So if you ever know of a venue.
Yes.
But I would love to do that because that was a really special project to me. And I was able to express all the different things, you know, the fears and the humor, and then, you know, deal with it with humor as well. Like, so it was my way of dealing. And, along with the flower thing, I've definitely affected. And it's been so nice getting out again because there was this lull and this silence, in person. So much was happening online though. Mm-hmm. So many people were producing and sharing online. So the online activity was still flourishing, but it is nice to see people in person now.
Yes, totally.
Refreshing.
I totally agree. That was probably the one thing and that was hard, was just losing all those events and all the people that I just planned on seeing at all those events. My kids, they're so funny. Like, one of my kids, somebody was asking, who do you hang out with? This is a high school friend. So we live where Carl grew up and he went to high school here in the Valley. And so we ran into some high school friends. They're like, who do you hang out with? And our daughter's like, they don't hang out with anyone. I'm like, I hang out with all my artist friends. We go to all these art events. Like, those are our date nights. And so you take all those away, you don't see those people and you don't go to those events. And then you're just like missing everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I have to say too, I loved the crib series. We really connected with it. I showed it to my kids. They thought it was hilarious. My big kids and my little kids.
I have two more I keep forgetting to post.
Oh, you got to post them. So I think one of the things that was great about COVID is because we had homeschooled for a while. So we homeschooled because life was crazy with the twins. And so we homeschooled to kind of like simplify life. And what I found with COVID was that we were all kind of simplifying our life. And Laura and I talked a little bit about ways that, you know, just it was nice. Like you said, your husband was home. Things were different. For me, that was like, it was easier for me to be an artist. Same thing, because I had big kids to help me drag everything to shows and help take care of the twins and all those things. And so it'd be interesting looking back. It's your crib. Oh my gosh. So fun. So fun. Well, Miss Laura, you're amazing. And thank you again for all that you're doing for our community. Like, seriously, it means so much. I know this is such a big deal. Thank you to your husband. Thank you to your kids and to your angels that helped you finish that piece, that incredible piece. Yes, yes. So many amazing things. So thank you again for being here. Thank you for putting on the show. And it's just always a pleasure to be with you.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Well, there you have it from the Candy Colored Studio. Go to Certain Women. Enjoy. Feel the love of our Heavenly Mother. I know that she loves you. I know that she loves all the people that you love. And just lots of love from Laura and I.
Yes. Amen to all of that. And more.
Okay, we love you guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Just when you think the episode is over. Okay, here is the promised red pill for the week. So I've been thinking a lot about, you know, asking questions. And why is it that sometimes I don't want to ask questions? Or why do we not want to ask questions? So that's your red pill for the week. Ask yourself this question. Why don't I want to ask questions? Okay. Is it because we may be uncomfortable with the answer that we might receive? Maybe it's not an answer that's comfortable. Maybe it's not an answer that we feel safe hearing. Maybe when we hear answers to these questions, we feel stupid. Maybe we feel like we've been deceived. For me, I think sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to look into that because it's going to take time, time to research, time to figure out, sift through all the information and decide what's true and what's not true. And that takes work. And then if I find something that's different than what I thought or what I've grown up believing, how long is it going to take to fix what I know now? Okay, this is your red pill for the week. Lots of love. I'm curious to know, why don't we want to ask questions? From the Candy Colored Studio, red pill away. Again, you get to choose whatever you want to do with this red pill. And you also get to decide for yourself. There's no right or wrong answer to these. It's all about the journey. All right. Love you lots.